And welcome in to Trailblazers Courtside here on this Monday night as the fall beautiful weather continues in the Northwest, but I understand it's about to come to an end. And people your age are always up on the weather. What are you seeing, Coach?
Well, they're predicting Friday that the winter will move in.
We'll be in Phoenix on Friday. In fact, we'll be in L.A. On Wednesday night for the Trailblazers game against the Lakers. That'll be actually in Ontario, California, and that'll be seen right here on Comcast Sportsnet. In fact, we're doing 5 of the 7 exhibition games this year, and this is what the schedule looks like. All these on the ones highlighted there right here on Comcast Sportsnet with a special Talkin' Ball following each one of those games. Coming up Wednesday night, the first exhibition game for the Trailblazers taking on the Lakers and then at Phoenix 2 nights later. We'll be there as well. We don't go to Sacramento and Utah, oddly enough, Coach Rice, but then we're home for Denver, Golden State, and Utah.
It'll be interesting because watching the Blazers practice today, they're ready for a game. They're tired of playing against each other.
You always talk about how training camp's so short and you wish it were longer.
Well, it's you wish it were longer for the coach to get all his stuff in. But for the players, you know, they've seen enough of these defensive drills and everything. And I give Coach Stotts credit. He really has stuck to the master plan of making sure they know all the rules and the concepts of what he wants on the defensive end. He has stuck to his guns this whole preseason practice.
Well, coming up in our next segment, I'm going to get some of your thoughts on what has gone on so far. This is what is coming up on the program tonight. This is the Courtside Tip-Off presented by Standard TV and Appliance. Wesley Matthews will join us at 6:15. We'll get his thoughts on what kind of training camp this has been, how ready the team is, and what you just talked about, how ready they are to take on somebody other than themselves. Terry Durham, retired NBA referee, used to be one of the greats. He's been around a little bit, of course. We saw him at training camp, ducking in and out. We're going to talk about the flopping rule that got so much attention and how NBA officials are going to handle that. And then Wheels will join us, 6:45. He just got back from Chicago. We've been keeping you up to date on the story where he found his birth parents. He's just back from that, so we'll hear about that. That and more coming up tonight on Trailblazers Courtside, as always presented by Pacific Power. Stay tuned right here on Comcast Sportsnet. Courtside fans lining up as we speak outside the Rose Garden and the Rose Garden Studios. Mike Rice has a difficult time ever exiting the Rose Garden. There's the stand for the Mike and Mike shirt.
Mike and Mike t-shirts. I hope they don't find us here in the bowels of the...
And a young shot of you down there to the right. Welcome in to those of you watching on Comcast Sportsnet, watching on Trailblazers.tv, and listening. Our radio audience, our Trailblazers radio network, and our flagship 1190 KEX in the Portland area and 102.3 FM. And we look forward to this week being able to bring you some games, not only on the radio network, but also right here on Comcast Sportsnet, as the Trailblazers taking on the Lakers on Wednesday night and the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix on Friday. We'll be there and have it for you live, and it'll be nice to be broadcasting an NBA game once again, even if it is the exhibition.
Yeah, the crowds, I just saw the crowds.
Well, they're obviously excited.
They reminded me of the NBA, and you know, we could live for 10 years on the t-shirts, the Bieber t-shirts they sell tonight at this concert.
Yeah, Justin Bieber's in town tonight, and that's a live shot of the concourse. That's just the souvenir stand.
Of all the mothers.
Look at that.
Pushing all the money for the t-shirts for the daughters.
You know there's not a t-shirt in there for under $45.
No, are you kidding? They all have those sprinkly things.
That's crazy. It's been a little nutty around the Rose Garden today with Justin Bieber in town, so we were just sampling a little bit of the flavor. Yeah. And it's right back here, so I don't know how we're going to get out of here tonight, but we're going to do our best. Coming up on the program tonight, Wesley Matthews will join us in our next segment, and Terry Durham, retired NBA referee who's been around the game for a long time. We're going to have a segment with him and talk about this flopping rule that has gotten so much attention around the NBA. Find out what he thinks about it, if it's even going to make it through past the union that'll obviously try to fight that. But interesting anyway. 6:35 we'll have him on. Then Brian Wheeler will join us at 6:45, get his thoughts on training camp, on heading out on the road for these first two. And we'll get an update on the story that has been growing with Wheels. We talked about his search for his birth parents. He found them. In fact, he flew back to Chicago and met with them over the weekend. So we're going to get an update on that as well, because we know
I can hardly wait.
A lot of people, have been interested in the Wheels story. So we're going to get to that as well. All right, training camp today. Blazers getting set to fly out tomorrow. We'll fly with them to Ontario, California. That's actually where the exhibition game is on Wednesday. How have your thoughts, things like depth chart, your optimism, how have things changed now that camp is a week old and that you've seen as much as you've seen?
Yeah, we're finding out, of course. Coach Stotts named his starting lineup today, and it was J.J. Hickson. And I talked to him for about half hour, 45 minutes, and he said, boy, the people are really into who's going to start. And I said, that's Portland. I said, you know, there's certain things they're into. The Beavers lost their quarterback. They'll talk about that. But, you know,
they'll be all right.
It's not like the Lakers that lost by 30 last night. No one really cares. They're arrogant enough to think, when the season starts, we'll turn it on and we'll be all right. Boston Celtics did the same thing. You know, those high-powered teams aren't worried about preseason games like maybe the Blazers. And I thought it was an excellent camp that Coach Stotts ran. He got an idea of the depth. His depth chart was a little different than mine 2-3 weeks ago. J.J. Hickson's going to start. And after watching practice, it was a good fight between Joel Freeland and J.J. Hickson. Yeah, Myers Leonard was also in there. Myers Leonard probably a little lower than those two, because they, you know, he's young and he has highs and lows, Myers
like
Leonard.
People.
Yeah, and when he has a bad day, he thinks, oh, I'll never make the NBA. When he has a good day, he's going to be all-star the first year. So, you know, it's just a little too up and down. And so I think the other guys have had a lot more experience than him. Ronnie Price probably made the biggest jump of all.
He was impressive.
Yeah, he's the backup point guard going in, it looks like. And and they're going to use Wesley Matthews and maybe Nicholas at both the three, the two, and maybe a little bit of the point guard. You know, he's going to really use those guys. If you look at the depth chart for the big guys, probably there's more problems. And I shouldn't use the word problems, but they have six guys that are playing that four and five position. And you really can't get playing time for six guys, even in the exhibition. Maybe if they had eight games, you could squeeze it a little better. But, you know, and the guy, the other guy besides Ronnie Price that made the big jump was Jarrett Jeffries. He has shown he's a veteran playing with a lot of young guys. So he has made his move at a lot of different positions. You know, they're going to look at him at anywhere from the 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, you know, to see how he, because he knows how to play. So, you know, you're looking at that. Luke Babbitt is going to be strictly a four. They're not going to try to.
And he's played well in camp.
Yes, he shot the ball. He has shot the ball as well as anybody in camp. But once again, the numbers at that four and five, six individuals. We got J.J. Hickson, Joel Freeland, Myers Leonard, Luke Babbitt, Jarrett Jeffries.
Yep.
You know, and so you have a lot of, and L.A., you know, you've got to mention, I forgot to mention L.A. He, you know, they'll try to play him with a big lineup, a small lineup. You know, they'll do a lot of different things with L.A. also. But it's been a real good camp. I think they've progressed. They've gained a lot of confidence, especially on the defensive end. They've worked more on the defense. I would say it's 75-25 as far as time goes for the defense versus the offense. So we should see some good things in defense.
Quickly before we break, I've had some questions about this. Adam Morrison has had a pretty good camp. What are his chances?
Numbers again.
But doesn't all – he just has to beat out basically Sasha Pavlovich, isn't that right? Has he done that, or has he, in your eyes, at least made it interesting?
He's made it interesting. I think Pavlovich is still – the leader in that category. Adam Morrison, in the first two or three games, they'll try to get some time for him, and that's when he has to show that he right now he doesn't have it made, but that could change. That
All
could
right.
change.
And again, that's coming up Wednesday night. Trailblazers taking on the Lakers from Ontario. In our next segment, we'll be joined by a guy who's also had a good camp, a guy who says he is healthy for the first time in his NBA career. That is Wesley Matthews. By the way, somewhere in that mess that is the Justin Bieber crowd, one Myers Leonard. And he's not ashamed to say it. He went to Carrie Underwood last night. He said, I'm going to Bieber tonight. I don't care who knows it. I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to Bieber. I'll be screaming like those 12-year-old girls.
Yeah, Casey Holdall will be there.
He'll
also
be there as well. We'll take a break here on Trailblazers Courtside. Back with more after this. And welcome back to Trailblazers Courtside. For those of you watching on Comcast Sportsnet, we show you once again a live shot of the souvenir stand at the Justin Bieber concert. So what do you think, $50 to $75 per head there at that souvenir stand? And this is just one of the souvenir stands.
I think that's minimum.
It's a cash cow.
Oh, yeah, it's just, as I said, we could live on it for 10, 15 years. Just
you,
revenue.
30 years.
Yes, I'm easy. I pot pies at night.
Coming up soon is Wesley Matthews here on the program. By the way, individual game tickets, as you may know or may not know, are on sale now. All the great games you know are going to sell out quickly. Hopefully they all sell out once again. 503-797-9600 or visit trailblazers.com for details. Well, we know that Myers Leonard is at Justin Bieber tonight and is very proud about that. We don't think Wesley Matthews is going to the concert tonight. He joins us now. Wesley, are you a big Justin Bieber guy?
No, I'm not. Okay.
And you didn't go to Carrie Underwood last night, I take it?
No, I did not do that either.
Because Myers, you know, Myers isn't apologizing. He went to Carrie Underwood, and he's going to Bieber tonight.
Hey, that's his prerogative. Nothing against them. You know, they're very talented individuals. That's just, you know, not up my alley.
How has camp been? Mike Rice said a minute ago, you guys probably can't wait to play somebody else. And is that the way it gets at this point of camp?
Yeah, I feel like we've been in camp for 2 weeks. But it's been good. Team's working hard. Everybody's playing hard. We're picking things up fast. And the competition, you can just see the competition is just flowing, and we're ready to get after somebody else.
You know, it's kind of a different camp than I previously had seen for other coaches. It looks like Coach Stott is highly organized, and he knows exactly what he wants on both ends of the court. Would you agree?
Yeah, I feel like we're almost prepared, you know, for a game right now as far as schemes and how we're going to play. So we're excited to see what we got on Wednesday.
You've been playing above the rim a little bit more than we have seen in the past. And you have mentioned that you really feel like you're healthy for the first time in your NBA career. Describe what you mean when you say that. Are you talking about the ankle, I assume? And I know that you tweaked it a little bit the other day, but do you feel like you're as healthy as you've ever been?
Yeah, definitely as healthy as I've been since my rookie year. And just excited, you know, hoping to get out of camp and out of this preseason feeling the same way so that I can really use almost every facet of my game this season.
You know, your scoring was a little bit down from your rookie year, and you mentioned health had a lot to do with it, injuries. What do you think you have to do to make this Blazer team a winner? Do you have to score more? There's not as much depth at the two and the three as in previous years. Do you have to get 16 to 18 points a game to make this success, this Blazer team?
Now, I don't know what the stats are, what the statistics are, what I need to do. I just know I need to do more, and that excites me. You know, that keeps me up at night in a good way. Just excited to rebound more, to push on the break more, to get more assists, to get more points, you know, and all for the team. You know, that I just know my role needs to increase, and I have no problem with it.
Now, it looks like you've got that spin move down, going to the hoop. They cut you off one side, you spin back, fade away, get a little space for that jump shot. Looks like your legs are really ready to play in this season.
Yeah, I'm just trusting them. You know, I'm trusting my body, and I know that it's healthy. I know that it's going to be able to do what I need it to do. And, I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses for previous seasons and all that kind of stuff. But you guys know that's not me. But you also know at the same time, it's hard to do what you want to do when you physically aren't able to.
Joel Freeland, J.J. Hixon, are you surprised so far how they've played?
Yeah, a little bit. Not so much with J.J. I mean, it's more what I expect from J.J. Joel, yes, because I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what he was coming into camp, what he was coming into the season. But the fact that he can stretch and shoot the ball on the perimeter, he's as aggressive as anybody we have on this team inside. You know, he rebounds anything he wants to learn.
Damian Lillard, you know, you went to summer league, which not a lot of vets do, and you went there because you know, simply said you wanted to try to get better, try to build some chemistry with these guys. You got a little action with Damian at summer league. What's been most impressive about him, and do you see him as a young rookie who is ready to get the keys and be the quarterback on this team?
Yeah, I think so. And the fact that, you know, he'll have LaMarcus, he'll have Nick, myself around him, the offense that Coach Stotts is putting in, is going to take a lot of pressure off of him. He's going to be in situations where, you know, we're going to need him to get us a shot. But for the most part, the flow and the continuity of the team will take over, and I think that's going to be very beneficial for us.
Now, I was talking to Coach Stotts today, and he said, you know, he may even look at Wesley Matthews and Nicholas Batum at the point guard position. How do you look at that scenario?
Yeah, there'll be situations where myself and Nick will initiate the offense. Depending on matchup situations, we might want to get Dame off the point because he is a good scorer, to get him attacking from the wings and stuff like that.
You know, we talk about the benefit of having a point guard who can shoot it with range like Damian can. What is that going to do for the pick-and-roll game with LaMarcus? What's that going to do to free you up at the angle? What's that going to do to free Nick up in the corner? How nice is it to have a point guard who can stroke it like Damian can from the outside?
I mean, it just makes everybody – it makes the court bigger is what it does offensively. When defenders have to come all the way out to, you know, half a step beyond the three-point line because he is a threat to shoot out there and a threat to score out there, and it just makes the court so much bigger. That step, half step, you know, is a step that they can't get to help on a drive or close out.
You know, I noticed you and Ronnie Price have had some good one-on-one battles going on. Talk to us a little bit about Ronnie Price and what he may give this Blazer team.
Oh, he's a dog, and I was one of his biggest supporters in trying to get him over here because I think he just brings so much of the intangible stuff in the game. He's not going to give up a layup. You know, there's going to be a hard foul, and they're going to have to earn at the line. He's going to get us an offense. He's going to play with a lot of energy.
He's a lot like you then.
Yeah. And then he's smaller, though.
You guys talk about expectations, Wesley. I mean, if you guys – you look like you have great chemistry already as a group. Have you guys sat down and you know – with going through last year with some of the injuries that have happened, that people around the country aren't expecting much from you guys, is that something you address as a team and individually as well?
No. I mean, we know what we want. We know what we want to be. We know what we're capable of. And, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out starting on the 31st. We'll, of course, start on Wednesday. But how it starts on the 31st, we can't think about the outside expectations of us because, you know, they're not in practice. They're not going through the battles we are, and, you know, we'll see how it shakes out.
One last thing. You know, LaMarcus was talking about Coach Stott's offense, which you guys have been putting in and will continue to. Is it a lot more complex than what you guys have seen in the past, and has it been easy to pick up his scheme?
I've had the privilege to be with having Coach Crean in college, Coach Tom Crean, Coach Buzz Williams. With Crean, we had about 300 plays, 300 different sets. With Buzz, we had a continuity offense. So I've almost seen everything that you can give a player. So the continuity offense is something that's familiar with me, but, yeah, it's completely different. You know, we're so used to, okay, we're going to set a screen, and LaMarcus is going to go to a block, we're going to enter it, we're going to cut, and we're going to play. You know, that's how we did a lot last year. So this year, you know, LaMarcus is going to be involved in a lot of movement. Of course, he's going to have his isolations, but when he's in movement, I mean, that changes everything up.
It's great to see you healthy, Wesley, and we look forward to these first few exhibition games, and we will see you on the plane tomorrow to Ontario. Continued good luck, and have a good practice, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, thank you.
All right, Wesley Matthews, our guest here on Trailblazers Courtside, and great to hear him talk about, as you mentioned, you know, you don't in these parts, I always get scared to say things to jinx things, but, you know, as healthy as he has been, he's looked at times like a different player in training.
Yeah, so different far. Player is the way to describe Wesley Matthews. And I mentioned the one-on-one battles with Ronnie Price. That's why Ronnie Price has moved up.
And don't forget, they played together in Utah, and that's yes. What Wesley was alluding to. That's why he wanted to get him here.
Right, and Ronnie Price, he's like a bulldog. He'll get after you. He has real quick feet.
Better shooter than I thought, too.
Yeah, and plays excellent defense. You put him and Wesley and Nicholas out there, I'll tell you, they can give people trouble on the perimeter defensive-wise.
All right, once again, Wednesday night, we'll have the game Blazers-Lakers right here on Comcast SportsNet. Of course, Blazers Radio Network as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Still to come, Terry Durham, NBA official for a long time, one of the great ones. He'll join us 6:35. We're going to talk about his thoughts on this new anti-flopping rule that the NBA has talked so much about. Trailblazers Courtside continues right after this break.
Justin.
And welcome back, Trailblazers Courtside. For those of you watching on Comcast Sportsnet, what is it, $100 for that little jacket? And I'm hearing there are 16 to 20 of these souvenirs. Stands.
Yeah, the stands.
Not to continue on this
16
whole thing.
To 20 stands. Oh.
Are you going to go up and catch a little of the concert after? Because you used to, I mean, and this is all kidding aside, and you were very proud to admit this, Hannah Montana was one of your favorite shows for a while.
Yeah.
You would watch it when no kids were around. So I know that you are very, you're into this culture.
And now it's iCarly. I watch her.
Do you watch iCarly?
Sure.
Is that good? Do you watch Good Luck Charlie? My daughter.
No. I'm not that low yet.
That's
you.
But anyway, not to call you out on something, but I wanted.
Yep.
I can't. You didn't apologize.
I really can't go up because a lot of people think I look a little like Justin Bieber.
I can see where they would.
I can't say his name.
Comparison. Blazers and Lakers coming up on Wednesday night. Blazers Suns on Friday night. Both of those right here on Comcast Sportsnet and the Blazers Radio Network. Coming up 6:35, Terry Durham will join us. So this will be a fairly brief segment. But we talk so much, and I don't want to get too deep into the X's and O's because people's eyes start to glaze over, and I get that. But we talk about the differences between a Nate McMillan training camp and a Terry Stotts training camp, not to imply one is better than the other. They are different, however. Offensive scheme. We talked to Wesley Matthews in the last segment about the differences. LaMarcus Aldridge has talked about it a little bit during camp, saying it's certainly more complex what we're trying to do now. What are they talking about? What is so different? What is the average fan going to be able to see different when they look at a game and watch the Blazers on offense? Make it easy.
First, I'll compare the Lakers. Mike Brown was smart enough to know he had a boring offense with the Lakers last year. He didn't get fired because of it, because he made the playoffs and, you know, they did fairly well. But he knew that offense wasn't going to fly in L.A. So he brings in Eddie Jordan and the Princeton offense. Now, the Princeton offense, of course,
not exactly
got him fired in Jordan in Philadelphia last year. He didn't do real well. But it's an offense set up It's three men on one side of the court and two on the other. So you work in three-man games over here, and you got Steve Nash working with Dwight Howard, pick and roll on the right side. Left side, Kobe Bryant's working off the low post. And, you know, they're doing different things. You'll see the Lakers with that Princeton offense. It spreads it out. Now, the Blazers, last year they'd call certain plays, and you knew that where – LaMarcus Aldridge was going to be in the offense if you scouted them. You knew what he'd like to do.
Setting a high pick at the left elbow.
Yeah, all right. This offense has people doing different things. It's very difficult to zero in on any one person because it may be Nicholas Batum working the pick and roll. So the defense has to not only set up for Lillard going with L.A., they have to set up for a lot of different things in this motion offense. You react to what the defense does. And, I found that this, with a guy like Lillard, who's really years beyond his rookie status as far as running the team, and he won't be asked to create up the middle and kick it off to one of the big guys. He'll be part of the offense, and when they leave him alone, he can really shoot it, as can Wesley, as can Nicholas. So the spread out offense really is going to cause matchup problems, and that's why Freeland is so important. He can go out to the three-point line and shoot the ball, so he's going to keep that offense spread out all over the court, very much like Dirk Nowitzki did in Dallas last year with Jason Terry. You know, they spread it out, and you couldn't zero in on any one guy.
And that, by the way, was also an offense orchestrated by Terry Stotts.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, you know, we've talked so much, and it's gotten so much attention nationally, this anti-flopping rule the NBA comes out with, and they threaten fines if you flop, and then, of course, the union comes in and says, no, you can't do that, and now there's a battle over that. Longtime NBA official, and he was one of the great ones when he was doing it, still one of the great guys around, Terry Durham will join us in our next break, or our next segment here on Trailblazers Courtside on Justin Bieber night in Portland, if you will. You're right. I do see what you were talking about.
Right. And if I put the wig on,
yeah,
it's
You used to go with more of a Caesar look for a haircut, yeah. and I think maybe
that's one of the reasons. They thought I was some kind of movie star.
That picture's a little old, though, of you.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That was taken about a week ago.
No, it was not. Yeah. That's like 15 years ago.
That was a week ago. What are you?
But you still look fantastic. Yeah. I'm not trying to say it.
That's that cushion that Curry put.
I understand. Trailblazers Courtside continues. It's just it's a fantastic show. It is so professional, and we take things so seriously. One of the issues in the NBA, whenever you want to rejoin us, you can. But until then, it's all right. One of the issues in the NBA really last week was talking about the anti-flopping rule that the NBA kind of came out with. There had been talk about it, but then they actually came out with what they're going to try and do with this. And I don't know if it'll be on the officials or not. Terry Durham, longtime NBA referee, good friend of ours, joins us in the program now. Terry, how you doing?
How you doing, gentlemen? I'm doing good. Thank you.
This isn't one more thing for the officials to watch for, is it? I mean, this is, from what we've heard about this, this is going to be something they're going to look at tape afterward. But how involved as an official, or maybe how much more attention are you going to have to pay to this stuff as an NBA official?
Well, I think what I've understood, and I am not really involved in it, is that somebody in the league office, after games are all over with, whether it's going to be with the help of the officials in the game or that or not, I don't know. But what I understand is somebody in the league office is going to view the games if they think there's been flopping going on and make a decision whether the player did flop or not. And if he did, in their mind, they're going to fine him. But my whole thought was that they need to spend some time getting the officials possibly to really understand and grasp the idea of what's going on with flopping. And I think some ways of stopping that is that you must see the play from start to finish. And if you see the play halfway in between when that player is throwing himself back and around, then you don't really know what happened at the beginning of the play. And I think that's what happens to us a lot of times.
How did you deal with, when you were an official, guys who tend to flop? I mean, you guys know tendencies of different players, obviously. You're around them all the time. It's a difficult thing, and I think the league says this, because you're watching so much on the court, and when you see out of the corner of your eye a guy fly out of the way, the tendency, and I think human nature, is you think there was contact or think something happened. How did you deal with it when you were a ref?
Well, again, we're back. You've got to see the play at the beginning, and then all the stuff in between, the flopping and throwing themselves around, you don't worry about it as long as you've seen it at the beginning of the play. And I used to tell players, if I think 1% of the time you're flopping, I'm not going to give you an offensive call. And what ends up happening is players get reputations, and they may have gotten run over, and we don't give them the call because at times in the past they flopped. A la Vlade Divac. I used to walk on the floor with him, and we make eye contact, and I'd throw myself back like I'd been run over by a truck, and we'd be, both of them would laugh about it. But he already knew, and a lot of times he would actually stay in there and take the offensive foul, but he didn't get the call because everybody was aware that he flopped, and the referees didn't want to call an offensive foul in case he did flop. And that's really what went on, and that was one way of getting them to stop.
Terry, talk to us about referees and players in the past, the talking between the referees and the players versus today. Was there a better feeling amongst the refs and the players because you could converse with them in the past, or is it better today?
Well, Mike, I'm not sure what's really going on today. I know back when I refereed that they went in cycles, talk to them, don't talk to them. Well, I always talk to them. And the players who've been around wanted to keep us talking. Example, the post play. I would say bend your elbows, the defensive. Don't put a knee up his crotch. Do this, do that. And the players would say, don't stop talking to me. And we would tell them a multitude of times, stay in there and take the charge. If you're going to throw yourself back, we're not going to give you an offensive foul. So you've got to stay in there and take it. And they understood that. And we did, I really feel we did a huge amount of more talking. I think Daryl Gerritsen and Ed Rush talked about that. Daryl did it. Ed did it. And I think it got a lot more communication better between the player and the referee. And they understood what we were trying to accomplish. And when we told them, you fly yourself out of there, you're not going to get the call. Got to stay in there and take the charge. And they understood that, and I think we had less flopping back when I refereed than we do now.
Yeah. Training. It seems that they put tons of money into training the referees today. You have to go through the D-League and this league and that league. Are they better trained today? Do they do a better job than they did in the past? It doesn't seem like they have a feel for the game today like they did in the past.
Well, you know, when I started, I went through 8 years of camps. Every summer I was in L.A. at the Summer League for 32 days. And Daryl Gerritsen ran it, and he taught us, and we watched tape, and he trained us. And I think he was one of the best trainers that I've ever been around. And so consequently, we learned from him. And when we refereed in the Summer League, he taught us. And when we got in the league, he taught us. So I think there was great training. And there's huge amount of training now going on, whether the training is to a specific thing, like when I was working, they would talk to us about a specific flopping. Okay, we would spend a whole bunch of time on flopping. We'd spend a whole bunch of time on traveling. We'd spend a whole bunch of time on action going to the basket. And so this was continuous. And I think they're doing that now. Whether the players are spending more time and getting more experience, that I don't know, Mike.
Is it hard for you to watch games now, Terry?
I know. I wish I was still. You know, my mind thinks it can do it, but my body's lucky to get out of bed in the morning, for God's sake. I roll to the floor, pull myself up, and head to the hot tub so I can start moving around again. But I really, I mean, I miss it so much, the actual time on the floor. It was the greatest job in the world for me, anyway.
And people don't realize how physical it is. I mean, Javi had to retire. He has no meniscus left in either one of his knees, and we see guys go down on occasion. I mean, I think people forget that you guys, four nights a week, are running up and down the court with these guys
and
for a couple of hours.
And catching planes after
right.
the game.
Absolutely. I mean, I've had five knee operations, and they're basically from refereeing. There was one in college, but you know, your knees take so much of a beating and a pounding, and they just get torn up. And an example, Steve Javi.
Yeah.
Same concept. The doctors told him, you keep refereeing, you're going to have an artificial joint. And he didn't want that. So, you know, it's a thing where you've got to stay on top of the game. You've got to be in shape. And I think and I really believe this, along with flopping and other situations, you've got to call what is the correct call. You cannot worry about what coaches or anybody else thinks. And, you know, if you think a guy's flopped, it's worked its way down in the college game. Something horrendous right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm working with Ed Rush in the Pac-12, and we're spending an awful lot of time on flopping that we got to get it stopped.
Now, who was the toughest player for you to referee? A guy that would give you, if you made the wrong call against him, he was all over you? Or who would you say?
Anybody, any kind of a call?
Yeah, any kind of a call.
Probably either Rodman or Rasheed Wallace, one of the two.
And he's back, you know.
I heard.
All right.
He was tough, wasn't he?
Well, the problem was I made a call, and I know you guys got to go, but I made a call against him. Instead of making an offensive call, I called the ball out of bounds and gave the other teams one off his heel. We go down to the end of the floor, and he swears at my partner and points at me, so he hits him with a technical. And then he comes after me. And I hit him and kick him out of the game. Well, it didn't even make sense. You know, it's just, I'm shaking my head. I says, I just did a guy a favor, and he's going crazy. And, you know, the guy who, if you call a foul on him, is sitting at the bench, he'd nod and say, that's right, I foul him. That was Bobby Jones.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Terry, we want to have you in soon. I want to do a whole show with you sometime. Just get some stories. It's great stuff.
Rasheed stories and Rodman stories.
Enough of those. Terry, we appreciate it. Good to see you the other day, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you, guys. Good to see you. Thanks for the help.
All right, Terry Durham, one of the great NBA officials when he was around, still lives in our area, and we get to see him from time to time, still comes to games, and what a tough job those guys have. As much as you ride them, they have a tough job.
I love them.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear from Wheels about his trip to Chicago when we come back on Trailblazers Courtside. That's for those of you watching on Comcast Sportsnet. Megan Angelo, who was, of course, one of the on-air talent, she was backstage somehow. That's tonight. That's recent. That's a picture with her and Justin from tonight. What's he wearing?
You know, Justin, what is he, 18?
He's
18 or 19 years old, right? He looks like he's about 40.
Is he only 18 or 19? Curry, you're up on pop culture. How old is he?
19.
No way. Really? His mom's like 36, 37. My wife was reading People magazines.
Yeah, I have socks that old.
I know that you do. All right, as we continue on Trailblazers Courtside, Brian Wheeler, who normally is sitting with us here, he is not tonight, but he had a trip to Chicago. If you followed us on the program, a few weeks ago we had a show, and about an hour before the show started, Wheels had made contact with his birth parents. Brian was adopted. It was a great story, and a lot of people have been wanting to follow it, and Wheels has been telling his story. Well, he went this last weekend and met his birth parents. Wheels joins us now. How you doing, Wheels?
You know, fellas, I'm driving back from a wedding, and this is a very informative show. If I were a semi-regular part of the show, I would be watching and listening every week.
Is that right?
You guys, it's entertaining, informative, all in the same mix, which is wonderful.
Have you had a couple of brews at the wedding?
No.
I know I was, you usually don't.
Yeah, Wheels isn't a big drinker.
No, we have a big trip. We have a big trip tomorrow, so you know, I'm trying to hustle home to get ready because we're going to get rolling here before too long.
All right, tell us in a couple of minutes here. We had Terry Durham on last segment. He was terrific, by the way. But I want to hear about your weekend. You met your birth parents. How did it go? Did they, you know, were they throw anything at you? Lock the door? Not answer the door? What happened?
No, I mean, you guys know I grew up in Los Angeles, and I'm not even sure that Hollywood would accept this as a script, this the way this whole thing has played out, because there's no drama. This thing has been so wonderful and just drama-free, and it was great. I met birth mother, birth father, birth sister, two nephews. One of them already has asked, can he call me Uncle Wheels? He thinks that sounds neat.
Is that right?
Now, when you walk...
And there's the picture there.
Oh, there's a picture.
There's
when you walk in the room...
It's amazing.
The first time you... Did you... What is it, a big hug?
What do you call him, Mom and Dad?
Yeah, what?
No, I call them Barbara and Hugh, but I think the heartwarming end to everything, which kind of sums up the weekend, and probably I couldn't explain it any better, is I finally, at the end, gave Barbara, Mom, a hug, and just said... I told her for the first time that I loved her and that it was a great weekend. And she said, I love you too. This was wonderful. And so that made it all feel like it was very worthwhile. So it was, no, they were great. They're trying to keep me up to date on five generations of people in the family. I don't know that they gave me kind of a chart of everybody. So I'm trying to keep it all straight. But everybody I met was terrific. And this week they're going to tell even more people in the family. So when they have a family reunion, I'm sure I'll be the center of attention as the new guy. But it was really, really nice. And it continues to be
a picture up, and we can see the likeness between you and your sister.
And mother. That's the first one I saw. I went, wow, you look like your mom. Wheels, to sum it up quickly, when you started this, which wasn't that long ago, and thought, okay, I'll go online here and I'll try to find my birth parents. I don't know. I was adopted. Let me see if I can find. Did you ever in your wildest dreams imagine it only in a couple of weeks working out this way?
No, there's no way that I could have. No way that I could have. And certainly I was initially just feeling I'd find out some information about a birth mother because the birth certificate didn't have any information about a birth father. And to find that they've been married for 50 years. And I'll tell you, they've had some challenging things that have happened in their lives, but they are very, very optimistic and happy people. And so I really think it's just a blessing, and you know it's been wonderful, and now these are people that'll be part of my life forevermore. So I couldn't have asked for anything better.
That's great. It's been great to kind of be hearing about this, and was texting with you over the weekend. We were thinking about you and thinking how it was going, but couldn't be happier. And I want to hear a lot about it tomorrow. And we're on the plane headed for Ontario.
Yeah. Now, will Mom ask us over and cook us a dinner in Chicago?
She's a good cook. She put together a few meals over the weekend, and she's gonna be with us for some
per
diem during the winter, actually. So you'll get a chance to meet her. She's already heard about the mic, so she's interested in that as well.
All right, if you hustle, you get here by Justin Bieber. Are you on the way?
No, I'll have to hear all about it from everybody else who seems to be going.
You can
tonight.
Ask Myers. Myers is going.
I know. I heard. I'm sorry I missed Carrie Underwood. I would have gone to Carrie Underwood last night, but at least he'll be able to fill us in on the plane tomorrow.
All right, Wheels. Thanks. Drive safely. We'll see you tomorrow, bud.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Okay, Brian Wheeler. What a great story.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. You know, because Wheels, as long as I've known him, you know, he's always kind of wondered and you know, has talked about it openly and always searching. And
you know, you
and
go
now
through
it's
the,
over. It's
you
great.
Go through the door. And, Mom, you know, what do you do?
I don't know. It's crazy. We'll take a break here on Trailblazers Courtside. We'll come back and wrap up a feel-good hour after this.
Yes.
So we're just simply rolling some tape, or watching, actually. The people come in to Justin Bieber a while ago, and we spot CSN personality Megan Angelo. There she is walking in, and we happen to roll some tape. And you weren't just coming to the concert. And then we grabbed you and had to hear about it, because you'd just been with Justin. Now, what was that like, meet and greet?
Now, and I felt, does he look like me?
You know, he does. He does. I felt quite old being back there, though. Let me tell you, a lot of screaming little ones.
Really? Did they try to jump all over him? Was there security back there?
A lot of tears being shed.
Really?
But,
how tall is he?
You know, he's fairly little. He came up to my shoulder.
Is that right?
Like, geez, I should have worn flats for once.
There were girls crying when they met.
Oh my goodness, yes, yeah.
Did you shed a tear? Be honest.
No.
Okay.
I didn't.
I didn't know.
Just, but there is, I think I might have shook him a little bit. I was so excited. I was like, hi!
Fantastic. And you snapped a discreet picture.
I did. So. I did. I had to. I know.
Oh, it's okay.
Yep. It's a once there. In a lifetime, you know?
Megan, thanks for filling us in.
Of course.
Have fun at the concert.
Hey.
All right.
My pleasure.
Trailblazers Courtside. We'll join you on Wednesday night from Ontario with the Trailblazers and Lakers, and Friday, Blazers taking on the Phoenix Suns. We'll be there in Phoenix as well. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.